for joining me for Rooftops Podcast. My prayers at this time would encourage you and challenge you, just as you hear from God in your own heart, to activate that, activate your faith in Him. So today I'm going to be talking about a messenger of preparation. Have you guys ever thought about or noticed how we are all really walking advertisements? We tend to market what's on the inside of us very naturally. It just kind of comes out. We talk about the things that mean something to us, the things that we find useful, the things that we enjoy, the things that we love. It just comes out. It just leaks out of us. And it's not because we have to talk about these things. It's because we want to talk about these things. It just overflows out of us. So maybe, you know, you bought a new tool or an electronic. It's like I was talking with my friends the other day about a new mop, like which mop works the best, you know, and we're having those conversations. Or where did you eat at recently that was like so yummy and you're just telling the world about it? Or, you know, how many photos have you seen of your friends' kids, right? They just love them so much. They're always sharing those photos. Or a movie that you recently saw. We naturally become messengers of what matters to us. And the greatest mark of a Christian is love. That's what sets us apart, that we actually love people. We're amazed at God's love for us and for others. And people matter to us because people matter to God so much that He gave His life for us. And so it's only natural for us to want to talk about Jesus to other people, right? We want to share who He is to others around us. We become His messengers to the people around us. A messenger of Jesus delivers more than mere words, though. That's the thing. The message that we share, which is the gospel, it's meant to literally prepare the way of the Lord, to prepare people's hearts and their minds for God to move in them. So the word prepare, you probably already know what it means, but the definition is to make ready for use or consideration. So that's pretty cool, to make ready for use or consideration. So what comes to your mind? That's the definition, but what comes to the top of your head when you think about the word prepare? For me, I think about a meal, okay? It's not that I like to cook, but I do like to eat. And I like to eat. I just don't like the preparation that it takes. I don't like to prepare for that because it does take time and effort to prepare for a meal. I mean, you've got to pick up the groceries. Maybe you've got to find a recipe or learn how to make what you want to make. Then you bring the groceries home and you've got to wash them. And, you know, you cut them all up and you cook it. And then you finally eat. And so it takes more time to prepare the food than it actually does to even eat the food. Not to mention the cleanup time, right? Nobody loves that part. And then, you know, after I do get done preparing a meal, if no one's in the room, maybe, you know, our girls are in the other room or my husband's downstairs. You guys, maybe you do. You're probably better than me, but I don't go to the rooms and tell each person. I just kind of become this messenger and I'm like, dinner's ready. Come and eat. Like, you know, that's the invitation. But really, on a more serious note, when it comes to preparing and being a messenger, hands down, I think about John the Baptist in the Bible. In Matthew 11:10, listen to what Jesus says about John here. It says, "This is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.'" So John was this man who was used by God to deliver his message and to prepare the way of the Lord. And I want to be like that. I don't know about you, but I want to prepare the way of God. I want to, my life be an on-ramp, if you will, onto the highway for God to move. And if we want our lives to be used for the purpose of preparing the way of the Lord in the world around us, I think there's a few things that we can pick up and learn from John. So I'm going to read Matthew chapter 3, starting just at verse 1. "In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.' For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.' Now John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locust and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance." So this is just like a little nutshell of John's life, his message. And again, I think there's some things to pull from his life and help us to be a messenger for the Lord and to prepare the path, the way for the Lord to move in people's lives around us. And so I'm going to talk about the first way that we can do this. The first thing I think we can learn by John is to accept God's call on your life. John knew who he was. I mean, from conception, he was unique. His mom had been barren. His parents were old of age. An angel delivers the message that they're going to have John. They're going to conceive John, and he's going to be born. And from that point, through his whole life, he just lived a very set apart, different life. I mean, think about it. Just his wardrobe choice alone. I have a thing with smell, so forgive me, but I just tend to think of the smell of this, and I just think about a camel hair outfit, okay, and a strange diet of locust and honey. So I would imagine that John wasn't popular. He wasn't in the in crowd. He was probably seen as weird, odd, to say the least. And maybe you felt like that to some degree. Have you ever felt like you were just different than others? I so can relate to this. I felt like this from the time I was a kid. I just felt different, not better, but just different. And so I want to tell someone today, whoever might be listening or watching, that it's okay to be you. It's okay to be you. It's even good to be you. God didn't make a mistake on you. So don't waste your time and spin your wheels trying to be like someone else, trying to mimic someone else in the way they do it or even the way they serve God. Accept yourself. Be at peace with yourself. Even like yourself. You know, it's okay to love yourself because God loves you, right? So he gives you permission to love yourself. Because when we copy and we paste from the lives of others around us, it does not translate as authentic. But being secure in God, being secure in who he made us to be, being genuine, now that is attractional. That gets people's attention. It makes the message attractional. So as soon as we put our faith in Christ, our life just kind of takes this different turn. As soon as we begin that relationship with Jesus, our life turns in a different direction. And what we find is it's usually a different direction of those around us, those that have been our friends, our coworkers, or even our family. I know that I went through that, especially at the beginning when I had gotten saved and I wanted everyone to come with me, but they didn't all want to come with me. And so I found myself alone and isolated. And at times it was really lonely. And honestly, it was hurtful when people didn't like the change that was happening in me. But I look back at that and I know it was part of God's plan. He was setting me apart for himself. And I did not realize it at the time in the midst of feeling lonely and secluded and hurt at times by the people around me. I didn't realize it, but it was actually during that time where he was strengthening my faith. He was strengthening my character. He was preparing me for the ministry and the outpouring that would come ahead. So I just want to encourage you to accept God's call on your life, no matter how unique it may feel, no matter how different it may feel. There is a purpose in that for sure. The second thing we can learn from John to be a messenger that prepares the way for the Lord is to just get out of the way. Get out of the way. And first of all, I have to say that I think so often, sometimes we're our biggest hindrance. We are our own roadblock and we can trip over our own steps. You know, when we think that God can't use us, when we think that because we don't know enough, we don't speak well enough, or I don't pray great enough, whatever that is, those excuses really reveal our lack of faith in God and His ability to work through us. And pride, you guys, it can be so tricky because it doesn't always come in the form of, look at me, I'm the best. The core of pride is just me. And so if our eyes are on our ability, then our inability, I should say, then our eyes are not on God. They're still on us, right? And so again, it can be a tricky thing, and just realizing that, you know, I just need to get outside of myself. I need to step out and just trust that God can use me because I'm willing, not because I'm great, but because I'm willing, and He will. He's faithful to do that. And so John, he didn't have a complex to be great in his own eyes or in the world around him and other people's eyes. He wasn't trying to become a famous preacher or a famous prophet or an evangelist. He wasn't trying to get a following. And I like it how Paul says in Galatians 1:10, Paul says it like this: obviously, I'm not trying to win the approval of people, but of God. If pleasing people were my goal, I would not be Christ's servant. They don't go together. You can't please people and please God. We have to choose who it is that we're going to serve, who it is that we're going to live our lives to please. And so even in one particular situation, John's response to his own disciples who came to him, as John and his disciples were baptizing, his disciples realized that Jesus and his disciples are baptizing as well, pretty close to where John is baptizing. And so John's disciples come and you know, their feathers are kind of ruffled and they're like, hey, you know, they're baptizing just here real close to us. And you can almost hear maybe some jealousy or competition or worry in John's disciples. But this is how John responds in John 3:30. He says, he must increase, talking about Jesus. He must increase, but I must decrease. So John knew this well. He displayed humility and he directed all eyes to be on Jesus, not himself. And so I want to ask you the question today that the Lord just probed me with years ago. And he asked me, are you discipling people to yourself? Or are you discipling people to me? So I just want to ask you that today as well. Are we discipling others to ourselves or to Jesus? Because John wasn't preparing his ministry. He was preparing the way of the Lord. And those are two very different things. Thirdly, to be a messenger that prepares the way for the Lord, and John knew this, it was to persevere through conflict and to endure through adversity. John was preaching in the wilderness. He was preaching in the desert, okay? He wasn't preaching down at the local synagogue. That seems pretty unfavorable to me. The desert, the wilderness seems pretty uncomfortable to me. And so how about us? How do we do when it comes to sharing Jesus? I mean, do we have to have like the perfect place, the perfect opportunity, the perfect time when all the stars just align before we'll even say anything about Jesus to the people around us? In 2 Timothy 4:2, Paul says to Timothy, preach the word of God. Be prepared whether the time is favorable or not. And so John, he did this. He didn't shrink back from telling the truth and confronting sin and darkness in his day. Just as we read, he said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And we want to see people restored so badly, right? Like, we want to see people healed and touched by God and transformed. But make no mistake, there cannot be restoration unless there's first repentance. And repentance can't happen unless the gospel is preached, unless the message is shared. So John was bold and he spoke the truth. The Bible says that he was the voice crying out in the wilderness. John laid down his life to fulfill this mission of preparing the way of the Lord. He was familiar with sacrifice. He gave up the comforts that I'm sure the people around him had. They were experiencing a totally different life. John chose a different lifestyle than those around him in order to be faithful to the calling on his life to be this messenger who would prepare the way of the Lord. And he was willing to be faithful to God even when it landed him in prison and ultimately costed him his life. So if we're to be a messenger of the Lord, it's not a matter of if we will face conflict, but when we will face conflict. Jesus himself says to us in John 15, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. And I have to say, to really keep God's word, to really be his messenger, we have to stick to the purity of his message, right? Like, we can't add to it. We can't take from it. We can't change it. We can't modify it to make it more suitable for this person or that person or this culture or that culture. We can't make up our own message. And we're going to be put in a position at some point in our lives, more than once, we're going to be put in a position where we're going to have a choice to make which side we're going to stand on, if we're going to side on the stand on the side of truth or not, because Christianity is not neutral. So John didn't only prophesy and preach. This is one thing that I loved about him. He wasn't just a spokesman, right? He was a living example of the message that he was bringing and that he was sharing with others. He got his hands dirty. He lived it out. John understood that ministry wasn't this block of time that he signed up to come and serve. It was a way of life for him. It actually encompassed his whole life, his entire life. And we know as Christians that witnessing isn't just a matter of like handing out a tract or some literature. It's not an activity that we do. Witnessing is not something we do. It's who we are. We're witnesses of what Jesus has done in our life, that he is alive. He is alive in us. And that's the best message ever, that what he's done for me, he wants to do for you. So we allow God to prepare us so that our message can prepare others to meet the Lord. So today, I just pray that we know and we fully realize and are aware that we are God's messengers, that you are God's messenger, and that he is sending you before him to prepare his way to touch the lives of the people that are around you, even today. So I hope you're encouraged in that. Thank you so much for joining me for Rooftops.